peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Right, looks like everybody came back and we're starting to feast again. Got a crowd here today. Cold outside. Praise Yahweh. The article there on the 2 billion people, I guess you got that this week. I thought you got it last week. But come to find out it wasn't played last week, and I was thinking it was, and that's the reason I was saying, talking about that 2 billion people left alive. And don't forget who said that first now. Yahweh showed you that first, and now it looks like their plans are coming through. And what I want you to understand is that this is actually shown in the Holy Scriptures, and the work that they are doing and the work that we're doing, the work that they're doing right now is to try to straighten out the mess they've made. And of course, the work that Yahweh did through his prophets actually foretold this now in advance to you, so you would know his plan that he is bringing forth at this time through Yahshua and the branch and the donkeys. And of course, he's prophesied every move so you could see exactly what's taking place. Now, we are making headways in the education Yahweh's way, in the education of the holiness. If you could get this in your mind, like, for instance, where Yahshua was crowned. It says he made a crown and put on his head. Actually, that is made a crown and put in his head, like he's placing in the heads of every one of you at this time, making him fit for the job, bringing him forth from the 12 tribes, of course, bringing Yahshua forth in that DNA breeding program that he had, to where Yahshua would be sinless. And then, of course, he would, that crown shows that he was sinless. He received a staff, a scepter, a rod of chastisement, a rod of correction, which wasn't a rod, a physical rod, neither a physical crown any more than the physical crown, but the crown of righteousness describes him and proves that he is capable of bringing peace to the universe through the rest of the priesthood that Yahweh puts with him. Will be the King of Kings and ruler of rulers. There will be many rulers. There will be many kings throughout the universe, but they will all have proved themselves like Yahshua did. So keep that in mind as you see these things. But now, one thing that we'll see here in Scripture, of course, is the people turning to Yahweh, 2 billion people turning to Yahweh. And we see this now. We see it taking place, but in a kind of a secret sort of manner. People call us secretly. They want to be a part of the house, but they are afraid to do so at this time. There's no telling how many a million people right here in the United States, and we're reaching the world, you know. We're praise Yahweh. On the report I got today, we reached over 2 million people in the last week. 2 million new people now in just a week's time. But the I don't know if you're keeping up on the education bills that are being passed to teach adultery, fornication, sodomy, bestiality in the schools to as low as the fifth grade. Now, that's what they're teaching. And they're teaching the how to do it, everything. It's all put in their minds. And, of course, whichever way you swing, whether the teacher swings, whether she or he is a queer or not, that's the direction they're going to point the children in whatever they believe. And it seems like the world is being taken over by homosexuals and lesbians. And that's what it seems like now. They have a huge power, like a voting power. So they can almost swing the pendulum from one president to the other, or one elected official to the other, and say who is to be in office. Well, if you're homosexual, of course they're going to want you as a front runner, and they're going to put all their votes behind you, and because they're wanting to make everyone on earth what they are. Well, the sex education in Wisconsin, that's where the biggest biggest arguments are being played right now among the schools. But we have I noticed this week, we have a bunch of parents that are in opposition to this bill. Well, whether they know it or not, they're standing up for Yahweh's righteousness here when they stand up against this sort of thing being taught to the children. Now, Yahweh tells you what to teach your children, and of course, it's not. He tells you it's not to do these things. That's what you are to teach them. And to teach them to practice the ways of righteousness only, not even partake one bit, he says, in the other, because when you partake of these things that the world is wanting you to partake of, then dying, you will die, because you start putting things into your mind and you become like this person that's laughing because a man got killed. You know, this is you saw that, right, everybody? You know, it's hard for me to believe that somebody would want to hurt someone else. But to laugh about somebody's death, you know, as if it was a comedy thing that was taking place, and to do what they did to that man's body, this shows the sickness in the minds today. Now, if you want to be that way, then you can follow Satan in her education, and she'll be glad to train you on how to screw up your mind to where you'll be hating everybody on earth, just like Hillary. You know, Hill means promotion. The other part means gods. And if you want to look that up, you can, but the war gods, it has to do with war gods. Promotion of war gods is that person's name. That's what it stands for. Anyway, there's people rising up against it, which lets me know that they are hearing Yahweh's righteousness taught, and they're leaning in that direction right now. If you go over to Malachia now, we will start here again, and we haven't nearly covered all of this. We've scratched the surface on the donkey's work in the last days, Yahshua's work in the last days. But the prophecies are extreme, and of course you can miss, you can read one verse and miss 20 prophecies in that one verse by not associating it with the other scriptures that it's pointing out to us. But in Malachia here, chapter 3, in verse 9, we see that you're cursed with a curse. You, cursed with a curse. But if you read it like it's in Hebrew, it's you, cursed with curse. So it's like dying, you will die, but if you read it without all the added words, you curse with curse. And of course, it says, yes, we added that, this whole nation. And it actually means there, and should have been, the all nations, but also this refers to the universe according to the lexicons. The nation there, of course, means heathen. The word Gentile means heathen, and of course, they have the people's minds screwed up today with deceptions with the words Jew and Gentile, as if they're two different races of people. So you have to put that back together in order to understand what they're meaning. They are two different peoples. One of them are believers, the other are disbelievers. That's what makes a heathen. It makes no difference what geographical location you are on earth, you know. You're still classified by the prophets as either a believer or a non-believer. And there was a lot of believers that were killed. Believers, somewhat. They weren't the house of Yahweh. They did not have salvation. You saw some of these in the film of the Holocaust. And now get this in your mind. Don't think that it was, you know, thousands of years ago when this took place. If you notice the date that was given there in that film, there, 1942, that's not very far past your birth. Remember when your birth took place? Add it up and see how many years that took place when Satan had Hitler as a leader doing the bidding of the Catholic Church. And of course, he was killing these people and they were fleeing, and they're finding some of these people now. But that 1942, I was 8 years old. I was 8 years old. I lived through that. 1942, I remember that time period. I remember people in those wars coming back with missing legs, friends of mine, missing legs and arms, injured from the war. But 1942, the other date they gave, I think I was 11 years old at that time. But when Satan was trying to kill me in Europe, in Germany, when she had Mussolini trying to hunt me down and kill me, I was in Oklahoma covered with dust from dust storms. Did you see that dust storm? Was that shown today? Was not? No? Okay. Next week? Okay, next week you'll see. I remember in this time period now they're talking about here, 42, 8 years old, I was in the second grade, 11 years old. What grade would that put me in? You see what I'm talking about? And these dust storms, I can remember being in school and a dust storm coming and the teacher saying, get your books and get out to the bus in a hurry. Well, they knew what was going to take place. Now, that was when we stopped the country school business and we started busing the children from the rural to the city to get them better educated, get higher education. Ours only went to the eighth grade, I believe, in the country school, but they could educate you in the city and then give you a job to work for the big corporations where you would spend all of your entire life working for this goofy thing that plays out after you get it paid for or falls apart. Well, that's the education. But anyway, I remember being in school and the teacher would rush us outside, get us on the school bus, and lo and behold, it seemed like in a few seconds, everything was pitch black. And without a light, you couldn't see your hand in front of you. And they would take us home on the bus. And the bus would drive real slow because he couldn't see anything but dust. It was pitch black. Well, what was Yahweh protecting me from? I don't know at the time. It could have been most anything, but no one was interested in coming to Oklahoma to kill me. They didn't think anybody would live there. That was a God-forsaken country. The war gods were in Europe killing these people, and some of them survived, and they're tracing them down, and they're finding some of the children that are left alive, but remember some of the things. Well, this is the curse that Yahweh is speaking of here. He's speaking of a curse that comes because the word of Yahweh is not taught. There's no one to teach it. There's no support for the work of Yahweh. If you put a king in office or a government, it makes no difference what government, they take the money, so much of the money away from the people that they can't pay their tithe. Now, either they pay their taxes or they go to jail. So which one do you think they're going to pay? Yahweh's not going to put them in jail. So they withhold money from Yahweh's teachings here, from his house, which keeps the house from publishing Yahweh's laws that would keep them from going into this mess that they're in. And if you remember what Samuel told the 12 tribes when they said, "We want a king like all the other heathen around us. We want a king." And Samuel said, "Well, you can have the king, but this is what is going to take place. He's going to rob you blind. He's going to take everything from you, and you're going to be crying because of your oppression." Well, of course, that's what the people are in an uproar now, and you see it. Greece, that's just one place, you know, but it's here in the United States. They said in Egypt when they was rejecting or trying to get rid of the king, "We want democracy." What are they saying here in New York? They want democracy like New York? like California? If we have it like California, we'll be great. We'll be rich. Well, the people there don't think so. The people in New York are not thinking so. And they're showing now, I don't know if it was shown here, but they're showing where the people are revolting now, where the revolutions are starting. This is just a start. And they know this, and they have concentration camps set up for this very reason. You remember we were hearing for months and months that they were building concentration camps. Brown and Root, which used to do all offshore drilling, they still do, owned by Dick Cheney. Remember that? Well, they got the biggest contracts for building concentration camps throughout the United States. Well, they got them set up and ready. So they're thinking ahead of the world. The world will get caught up in this later, and they'll see what actually took place to them because they are under a king instead of a righteous priest of Yahweh. Now, that's what the difference is. And the curse that they're under, Samuel tried to get them not to do it, and Yahweh said, "Protest it." But just calmly protested, tell them what they're getting into, but let them go ahead and do it. Well, that was the plan from the beginning when Yahweh created heaven and earth to allow this to take place. And he says here, you're under a curse, even this whole nation, the universe too, because Yahweh intends to bring peace to the universe, which means their peace is not in the universe at this time. He says, because you've robbed me, you're suffering this curse. Well, if you look back now to, he was speaking here of what we're shown in Genesis 49. We're shown the curse here, taking that Yahweh says, these people, he said, Ephraim and Manasseh, they're going to become a multitude of nations. They're going to take over the entire world. And from these families right here, in the last days, you're going to see this curse. And then he starts naming you the curses here. In the last, for the last days now, verse 1, then he starts showing you the curse, the curses you will see. Look at verse 7 there. Now, this is what you're seeing among the nations right now. This is why people will laugh when they see someone's body brutalized, even after he's dead, and laugh about it. Makes me wonder, well, I won't go any further on that one. Anyway, the 49 here and the 12 sons, and we see there, of course, in 10 and 11, and 12, also the work that Yahshua was trained to do for these last days. Now, this is the first prophecy of it, and there's no way anyone can understand it without knowing the other prophecies that go with it, which you do. At least you know most of them, because I brought most of them, not nearly all of them, but I brought most of them. But we have four horns here, and we also have four great powers bringing this curse about in these last days. Their end is shown, held back from their intentions, because if their intentions, let's turn over to chapter 7 of Revelation. If their intentions were right, he didn't show the horns now until he got to Moshe. And he showed the altar of death that represents sin and, of course, the slaughter of the four-fifths of the earth's population in these last days is brought forth by these four powers here. But he shows their intentions of depopulating the earth to 2 billion people. Now, everybody saw and heard that. So you know before this that I told you this was going to take place. Well, here in chapter 7, we see the four. Now, remember, this is represented by an altar that Yahweh showed Moshe that still sits beside his throne. This was a pattern of something that Yahweh has sitting beside his throne where he can see this, like I told you to do with the mule, the donkey cloud. I think about that donkey cloud, and I think what Yahshua was showing there, that my work is not in vain, as I thought it was. And I did have great grief because I couldn't see things taking place as I thought they should. And I know that Yahweh showed me this for a reason, and it couldn't be more clear than it is that donkey, that the branch has its full attention. as I do today. and then of course we see the news articles that is showing a movement in the world of people bucking up against this, what is taught to their children. Yesterday they dismissed a judge because he was spanking his 15-year-old daughter. And I don't know, maybe I'm the only one that said the judge is right in this matter in what he did and shouldn't have been dismissed. He should have been encouraged. But I don't know. People today, they have a hard time even seeing one righteous thing. And of course, the the 15-year-old girl, I don't know what all took place in that, but I would think that this judge, from seeing the video, was doing what he thought was a righteous thing in trying to keep his daughter from probably sins. And I doubt if any of this will be brought out, that he was doing this. But he was perfectly right, and the world is perfectly wrong in saying we shouldn't attack sin in our children. We should let our young children who don't have the knowledge, who doesn't have knowledge enough to know what they're getting their bodies into. And of course, the Catholic Church is working with Satan in wanting this freedom and bringing forth the chip freedom and punishing with their CPS department anyone who will correct their children and insist on them not doing these things that they are teaching in the schools. And of course, the parents arguing against this, he probably won't last long. They'll probably, you know, take him out of office and turn his daughter loose to go ahead and ruin her body. But that's the world. But you can see people and judges. We had one judge that said, all of my life, ever since I've been a judge, I've just put people in prison because, he said, I knew it wasn't helping anyone, but he said, I don't know what else to do. I didn't know what else to do. He said, I'm so glad, even after my term, I've retired. He said, I'm glad to find out there was something that I could have done, and maybe I can help now to start it in the world today. Y'all remember that man? A judge who is now working, pushing forth the peaceful solution, character education program. They don't want this in their schools. In fact, Yahweh is not wanted here now. Yahweh is going to be wanted here very soon, and we can see it coming now. Well, we saw we see here that Yahweh is holding back in chapter 7 now, of verse 1, holding back these four horns of death that would wipe out four-fifths of the earth's population, and he's holding them back for the reason of converting certain people and certain breeds here, in fact, that he shows, if we had the correct translation for it. And then if you go back to chapter 6 there, you see the four that he's holding back. Now, these are represented by the four horns that Yahshua is going to cut off and throw to the ground. That's the four horns of death that the altar was made to represent, death caused by sin. Well, here in chapter 6 and verse 1, we see the lamb here now. The lamb is the one that's portrayed in chapter 49 of Genesis as doing a work in the last days with the donkeys. Remember? Well, we see a lamb now here opening some seals. What for? Why? I would that I could have told my brother-in-law, you know, that the lamb is going to open his mind one day and show him what he could have got if he'd have listened to me when I was 17 years old. But he got mad at me then. Closed his Bible and threw it against the wall, in fact. He was a free will Baptist. He was one of those free people that the Pope set free from righteousness. And I saw when the Lamb, see, opened the seals, and then I heard, as it were, one of the four living, that's the four active powers or one of the four horns. Four represented by four horns, shown in Daniel as being four great major powers, combining their strength and coming down today with great fury, led by Satan. But he was saying with a voice like thunder, a voice like thunder. Now, I wonder who that could be speaking of. And look at verse 6. A voice like thunder saying, I heard a voice in the midst of the four active powers here saying, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and see that you don't hurt the oil. Did we show the one where it said these wars are about oil? The colonel, okay, praise Yahweh. You saw that. All of these wars, all the money we have spent, he said, is for the oil. Make no mistake about it. We want that oil. We don't want our life, our way of life altered in any way. We've got to have that oil, and if we have the oil, we'll have the power to run our machinery, fly our planes, to destroy nations, destroy our enemies, quote, enemies. Do not hurt the oil and the wine. Well, here now we see riches, richness throughout the earth. Riches throughout the earth. Over here now, before that, it shows that these four powers are given power to take peace from the earth. And then look at verse 7 now. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living active member say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and the name of him that sat upon it was Death, and Sheol, the grave, followed with him, and power was given to them over a fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, with hunger, and with the pestilence, the same is under the authority of the beast. Well, now, if you think back here now, if the mark of the beast, that was the first book that I wrote, was the mark of the beast. And I showed what the mark of the beast was, and of course I showed these prophecies at that time. The beast that he's speaking of here was the one that changed Yahweh's laws, spoken of in Isaiah 24, also in Daniel, to think to change the feast days and the laws. So, now this too is part of the curse spoken of by Malachia, because in keeping these laws from being heard, if a person don't know righteousness, how could they possibly make a decision not to do evil if they don't know anything about the other side? Well, of course, Yahweh says, teach your children diligently these laws, statutes, and judgments. Deuteronomy 6:25, 6 verse 7. Teach them diligently when you rise up, when you go to bed, and so forth. Well, of course, this is what we're doing now. But why are we doing this now? Because Yahweh established his house again. That's why we're teaching them diligently to the children at this time. You realize how many thousand years it's been since this was done by any group of people? The so-called American Indians, they brought some of this with them when they were fleeing, like we saw here earlier from this Holocaust. They brought some of the laws with them, and they brought the name with them to what is called the United States today. There's bits and pieces of it brought, but not the whole thing. And it was never set up in any way that I know of to where the house of Yahweh actually had the power to teach children day and night the laws of righteousness. until this time period we're in right now. In verse 7, I heard the voice of the fourth living saying, "Come and see." Then I, verse 8, and I looked and behold a pale horse, and the name of it that sat upon it was death. So we see that they're wanting death to four-fifths of this earth's population, starting in that area right there. I don't think they think, Malachi Martin said in his book, The Keys of This Blood, the U.S. hopes to come out on top, which means the plans are made for this right here. This is not a new thing, depopulating the earth. And Malachi Martin showed this. And Malachi Martin showed the ones they hope to kill off. They don't want, as he said, anyone who will refuse to worship the Queen of Heaven. Satan is going to make war against them. Well, so far, in all of our money that is spent, we have attacked those who will not accept Mary. Quite a coincidence, huh? And of course, he said, Malachi Martin said, showing in his book that this was going to begin shortly, and the plans were made, and each one of these nations hoped to come out on top, including the Pope. The Pope is one of them that hopes to be a winner in this. He's not, according to prophecy, he's not, but he hopes to be the one on top ruling all the world. Well, a fourth part of the earth to kill until four-fifths of the earth's population is dead. Look on down to verse 12. And I looked, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. Well, you're going to see this darkness over the whole earth the next time, not with a dust storm, but with the darkness that blocks out the sun and the moon too, and of course stars falling from heaven, the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then he sees the heaven departing as a scroll here. This is going to take place very soon. Why should we doubt this when we see the first part already fulfilled? Why should anyone doubt it? You know, we see that this first part here in Revelation has been fulfilled. We see why they're doing this. Hurt not the oil. They're doing it to save the oil, but they're also doing it. This power is given to them, which means they've made a decision to follow, and they have the power to do it, capable of doing it, to depopulate the earth, to bring it about. Look, this is what we're going to do, he says in verse 8. We're going to bring this about, the killing of all these people about. Now, that's what he's showing you, and this is part of the curse of the four horns that Yahweh had put in front of all of Israel, saying to them, this is what your sins is bringing. It's bringing death. And this is what it's going to bring in the last days, shown in Revelation, shown by the prophets before Revelations too. But he says, the heavens were darkened, and then they were rolled back as a scroll, and the kings of the earth, verse 15, and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains. This is surely speaking of the great 8 and the great 28 and the great and the great 10% that own 99% of the wealth, the mighty men and every bondman and every free man sought protection for themselves and in their governments and in their assemblies the assemblies of the gods and the houses of their gods that they were following, the war gods. Yes, this is the war gods that they're following. And said to the houses of their gods and their assemblies, fall on us and protect us from this, from the face of him who sits upon the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Well, of course, the Lamb is not wrathful at all. He's not angry about anything. In fact, he's coming to teach them now. The great day of his judgment is come. Great day of his judgment. Now let's go back to Malachi again with that in mind. Malachi 3. And look at verse 9 again. He says, you're under this curse. The curse, yes, the whole nation, the whole world, the whole, everyone who has turned against Yahweh, whether you're beings in heaven or whether you're beings on earth, you're classified here and mentioned here in this word, Hebrew word, that they translated nation or nations. It's heathen. It's people who don't know the ways of righteousness or refuse to follow the ways of righteousness. For you have robbed me, that is, robbed the source of knowledge that would have kept you from this hell that you're bringing forth here on the face of the earth in this time period. And then he tells you, bring all the tithe into the storehouse that there might be food, that is the means. That don't mean something to eat. It doesn't mean food that you eat, but the means to spread this message out to the world. And prove me now in this, says Yahweh, I would give you all the things that you're lusting for, all the rightful things. As the Jacob, he spoke on this. And he says, he talked about this curse. And he says, why the wars? Because you're lusting for things that you should not lust after. And he said, you're refusing to ask for the things that is actually needed. Well, that's what Malachi is saying here. He says, I'll rebuke the devourer in verse 11. The thing that destroys, I'll rebuke this. Let's go back also now to Genesis 49. Genesis 49. And we see here for verse 1. This is to take place, this curse in the last days. And in verse 7, we see, cursed be their anger. So furious. Their fury is cruel. And I will scatter them in Jacob and disperse them throughout Israel, throughout everyone that's going to take place. This is going to be dispersed and become the greatest horror on earth, the anger, the cruelty, and so forth. I think we're pretty much seeing it right now. Verse 11 now shows, let's look at verse 10 first. That was verse 1. Now look at verse 10. And he says now here, he talks about the scepter. The scepter will not depart from Yada. Now, if you see what is really taking place here, he's saying that Yada here is going to actually remain a distinct nation, separate from the other 11, if you want to put it that way. But they would remain separate, and they would hang on to this, and they would keep giving these laws until a time period. And this is what took place in the temple when Moshe was read. Well, of course, this is what brought it forth. Yada, the distinct tribe, brought this forth in Jerusalem, in the temple, until Yahshua came. Now, that's a fulfilled prophecy that no one can deny. And when the critics come saying, you know, this is a bunch of baloney just written by so-and-sos, you know, they admit this is true, and they have no No excuse. They have nothing to say back to it. Yes, it took place. Yes, just like it said. And Yada did become a distinct tribe here until Yeshua came. And then, of course, they were gone. Find them today. They're not given the law today anywhere. And then we see here, that the lawgiver, Yada, that somebody else supposed to take this scepter. Now, this is like the dictionaries. You can't go to a dictionary to find out what this is, but you can find what the scepter is by following what the prophets say about it and what the apostles say about it. It's a breeding program right here that he has specified is going to take place, that's going to breed total righteousness into one man. Now, it brought it to some others. It brought righteousness to families. They had to guard the breeding program and make sure somebody else didn't get into it, to defile it. Like the man that took his father's bed, went into a concubine. Now, that is also in the world today. That mixture is in the last days more so than ever. And, of course, this is what's causing all the confusion that we see taking place in the world today. The confusion. Their minds are confused. Otherwise, you wouldn't have the hatred taking place that you see prophesied there in verse 7. The hatred and the laughing about it. And wanting to kill and thinking nothing about in protecting their oil. Do you know how many children were available when those bombs hit the ground? Did you ever think about this? What kind of heart or brain does it take knowing here is a city now, we're going to drop a bomb on it, knowing, and they actually know the population of that city. They know how many women, how many children, how many men, how many soldiers, which are few. And when this was taking place in Egypt and in Libya, did you notice the hatred there in the minds, in the faces of the people? You can see it in their faces. There's no love or sympathy or caring or concern. They didn't even give them the opportunity to get the children out of the way. They did back when the big boy and little boy or fat man was dropped. The first two atom bombs, they actually cared enough at that time, the president did, to send out planes ahead of time, dropping brochures telling them what we're going to do. Get your children out of here and your women, those who don't want to die, get them out of this city. We're going to drop these bombs on your city. Now you can see how this changed from that time till now. Do you see any caring at all in the world today? I don't see it. I don't see it anywhere. Except now I'm seeing bits and pieces of it, like I said, in the news, the articles, where they're bucking up against the system now, and they're saying, no, we don't want this taught in our schools. Well, of course, they have war taught in certain schools, and there's no way they're going to change that unless enough people bucked up against it and said, we don't want these colleges in America anymore. We don't want war taught to this people. We want peace taught here, and we want it throughout the earth. Well, my time is up, but just look there just a little bit more. He says the tribute. Well, of course, Yahshua proved to be that one that was, that it was built in his mind. This was his crown. He is crowned with this, and this is an eternal crown that is placed on his head. It's an eternal crown that is being, that you're being prepared for too, brethren, for you to be recognized as Yahshua, righteous, who won't turn in a fit of anger or a bad moment, low blood sugar, whatever you want to call it, and zap someone with your power. You know, you're being proven now, and I can see you're overcoming. I saw this at the feast, and Yahshua saw it before the feast and showed me that donkey in the cloud, a magnificent sight that I'm jumping up and down about. And then when the article was told to me this morning about the people, because I've been looking for this, and about the people rejecting this this so-called education, and they showed, now these people, this is quite lengthy article, but these people are showing, saying, no, this education that you've got is not working. Diseases are increasing, STDs are increasing, but cancer, heart disease, everything is increasing, along with your education. So your education is to blame for this. We don't want it anymore. We want abstinence taught to our children. I remember Bush, George Bush. Now, he's a family man. And you can if you have a family and you love the family enough to correct it, like the judge that was spanking his 15-year-old daughter in a proper place, I would say. I saw the belt and where it hit her, and I'd say that's a proper place to put the pain that will get to the brain. And let her know that she's not going to do that as long as she lives in this house. I think it was a great thing. But when I see this, I was rejoicing this morning, and you probably heard me hollering, "Praise Yahweh." Maybe the wind was carrying it the other direction and Clyde was hearing it. But to me, these things are really joys. After I finally realized what this donkey cloud, you know, that it didn't just happen. When I first saw it, I thought, well, you know, that's really strange. Like Mary, the appearances of Mary in a cloud, you know, because clouds move. But then I looked at that cloud. I stared at it, and I said, man, this cloud's not moving. There it is. We got it on the screen for you to see. Praise Yahweh. Technology. And I said, this cloud's not moving, you know. And went into my mind, the cloud is stationary. And I said, this is not real. And then I saw the pack on the back, you know. Well, if it was a cloud, why this much details? If it wasn't for a purpose, why this much detail? The only thing that puzzled me for so long was the cloud in front of it. I thought it was looking mean at the time. I thought this cloud in front of that donkey, well, maybe it is looking mean. But the way they painted this cloud, you know, they had it in rolls like it was moving. I said, no, it's not like that. It was black. And I said, if you'd take a picture of a night of oak trees, the black, you can see it. If you take a picture, you'd get the same color and texture that I saw in that cloud. So they painted some more. Our artists were working night and day trying to get this. I said, we got to have this before Passover. I see what it's doing, what Yahweh has done. But then I saw the picture. After a while, I was working one night, after a few weeks, and I was working one night, and I saw this picture that our television technicians, Kohan Eliyah and his crew, The ones that has got overseas set up, well, they're doing all kinds of work now and news and everything else. But I saw this picture of the olive tree sitting on top of the sign. Do you have that one? Can you show that one? This is great technology. I want to go with this thing. Well, anyway, I said, that's the shape of that cloud, that olive tree that you see up there. And I called to find out who put that up there. And I said, this cloud, this olive tree is the shape of that cloud that the donkey is staring at. Well, after all of these times, all these weeks of concentrating and remembering this and praying about it, I can see that this was done. And of course, if you see the sun at underneath, you know, that's the way he fixed that. You know, that's the light at the end of the tunnel. There's a dawn coming. Look at it. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, that's the work that we see prophesied right here with Yahshua, who was bred to receive, to actually grow in his mind, to take over his mind, to take over his total mind, this righteousness, which it has. So he was one, absolutely one with Yahweh. And then his donkeys, having their full attention, as he did, he only lost one, he said, out of the bunch, the son of perdition. But they too, he put into their minds the same thing that was bred into him, he put it into them. And then in the last days, he shows yet another prophecy here of another work. Now, the commentators all know that this is a separate work and a distinct work from all the others that has been prophesied. They just don't know who. But they do know that this is a separate work, and they admit that in their writings. The historians do too. And there's many people have looked forward to finding out this in the future, and they will, you know, because Yahweh is now bringing this prophecy to pass, and in the world that is also going into starvation and war, they're bringing this prophecy to pass. And I think I told you one time that food is not going to get cheaper. It's going to get higher, much higher. And they're cutting it down to where they can control the food. And of course, this gives excuse for actually killing more people. You know, start a war so you can wipe them out. What? You don't have an excuse to wipe them out unless they do something and cause you to do this. See, like the 9/11, they had to have something to make them go after this oil in Afghanistan or in Iraq or in Libya. There was a cause for it. And of course, the 9/11 was it. 9/11. Someone called me last week and said, did you look at the date today? And I said, no. What is it? And I don't remember now. I'm going to have to bring that to you next week. But it was magnificent because I have a number. I have a number. It's not 9/11, but it's 11 something. No, that's not it. I'll remember. I'll get it, and I'll have it for you next week. It's really beautiful, really beautiful. May Yahweh bless your understanding. I love you, brother. I love you, sister.